Good evening and welcome to worship. Tonight we'll hear a gospel lesson where Jesus says he's the bread of life. It's one of the seven I am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. It's an interesting time in the church's season where they're pondering how to be Christians following Jesus' resurrection. And we hear an echo in the book of Acts of the first stoning, first death of the first Christian martyr named Stephen. So we'll ponder what these might mean for our own spiritual journeys and the gift of God's grace being present to us in a world of division. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for drawing each one of us here this evening on this beautiful evening after the rains. We ask that you would anoint each of our lives with your grace and feed us deeply with your word and silence and sacrament, that we would know we are with you and you are with us always. We ask this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent.
Staying in that place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 8. There broke out a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him. Saul, in the meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women. He handed them over for imprisonment. Now those who had been scattered went out preaching the word. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds pay attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 66. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Let all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. He has changed the sea into dry land. Through the river they passed on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from John chapter 6. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
Season that we are in following Easter is an opportunity for the church in the book of Acts to come to life, because Jesus is receding from the story and the apostles are arising as the main characters in the story. Obviously, we have to get from no more Jesus on planet Earth to the church spreading around the world. And the book of Acts tells us those stories, how it happened. So at a historical level, there's something unfolding here that's very important. But for us tonight, I want to apply it on a spiritual level and a psychological level. There's always the historical level, but I'm very interested in the spiritual and psychological level of what these things might mean. So the first indication is I'll put it this way. The killing hasn't stopped. The killing hasn't stopped. So the religious leadership that was so upset and concerned about Jesus, that represents the worst of human emotions, the most negative of human emotions, of reactivity, jealousy, fear, anger, hatred, murder, changing an innocent person to take the place of a convicted killer. It's just crucify him, get rid of this guy. So this impulse that was there to resolve the problem of Jesus still didn't solve the problem of their anger, of their fear, of their resentment, of their jealousy, of their panic. And this gets to the point for all of us in that negative emotions are like weeds. They're very hard to pull up. They just keep coming back. Even if you put Roundup on there in Texas, it just keeps coming back. So they killed Jesus. That's not good enough. Now they need to get rid of Stephen. And they're concerned because it's spreading like a virus and the apostles are preaching. And so as a result, they come down with a heavy hand and a lot of people scatter. And in particular, we have this one character by the name of Saul, who stands almost gleefully watching Stephen be stoned, which was the story from yesterday's reading in the lectionary. And today we see that they bury Stephen. Stephen was the first Christian martyr after Jesus. They stone him to death because he was preaching about Jesus, or not preaching the right stuff. So here we have Saul, a personification of the worst aspects of the human being: loathing, self-righteousness, anger, hatred, and that sense of superiority that feels that it can snuff out someone else's life because he knows or it knows what is best. Now, on a historical level, these characters play their role in the drama that we know as early Christianity. But on a psychological and spiritual level, this dynamic is continuously going on, because there's the Saul aspects in ourselves. The Saul aspects that almost gleefully look over when someone else is suffering, and that almost delight in our anger or resentment or our meanness when we are defending ourselves or standing for our territory. Now, it's hard to see when you see it in yourself. But if you've ever been angry, for example, in an argument, probably you can see the edge where the anger could become violent. And most people check themselves in that moment, because they know that if they don't, there'll be trouble. But I have seen parents in the grocery store, you know, after a long day of this dear child screaming or being disobedient, in a moment of frustration and panic and rage, and that weed of violence just crops right up, and they grab the child or they shake the child. And it happens all the time. And it's just a small little indication of the weeds within the human heart that come up. The Saul weed in the human heart that comes up. And the result is that it puts us more into prison, psychological prison and spiritual prison. Now, not to be too much of a downer, because there's more to us than this Saul dynamic in us. And Saul ends up getting changed and totally transformed. And his passion gets transformed, like getting water turned into wine. It gets transformed to such a degree that his anger gets funneled into a positive, benevolent source that fuels his mission all around the known world, the Mediterranean world. And no one else could have done what Saul did when he became Paul, because something about that fierceness was transformed into goodness and was used in the story. And that's what ends up happening with so much of us. Our negativity, those aspects of ourselves that are most immature, that are in most need of healing and transformation, become the very places where the broken becomes healed and stronger, and God uses us. So our deadly sins, so to speak, the reverse side of those are our virtues. And that's often the case, where the very thing that needs to be transformed in us is also, on the other side of the coin, our greatest virtue and strength. That's the way it is for all of us. So the gospel lesson, just as we jump from the book of Acts to the gospel, is another reminder of the deep remedy that is needed when human beings live from separation. And separation leads to violence. So forgetting the oneness of our brothers and sisters, forgetting our own oneness and connection with God, forgetting oneness with Spirit, forgetting oneness with people who are different from us, forgetting oneness with the creation, results in all sorts of reactive, fearful, angry-based behavior. Hoarding, hating, fearing, when we live from that place of separation. Now, the remedy is this thing called the bread of life. The bread of life. As Jesus equates separation, the state of feeling separate from God, which is a state of fear, which is a state of oftentimes reactivity, and for many of us, ego, where our worst aspects can show up, that place of separation. Jesus calls that hungering and thirsting. Those who are hungry and thirsty. Hunger and thirst are euphemisms for living in separation and forgetting the oneness that is our birthright and that is being announced and demonstrated in the gospel, the oneness of God and humankind. And this oneness brings a great deal of healing and transformation of our stuff. So hunger and thirst are really what people are doing when they are living from fear, anger, reactivity, meanness, violence, their worst aspects. So when you see that mother so frustrated at the edge of her being, or father so frustrated at the edge of their being at the grocery store, or when you see in yourself that aspect that is on the phone reacting, or that is getting mad or flipping the finger, or however your anger, meanness, and the worst aspects of your negativity come out, however that happens, you can have compassion on that person and on that aspect of yourself, because it's simply hungry and thirsty for the bread of life. The bread of life, jump back to the book of Acts, is the Word of God. The bread of life at its root is the Word of God. Now, how do I know that? Why do I say that? Because Philip goes preaching, And Philip starts preaching and teaching through his word. He starts announcing the word of God, which is a euphemism for the wisdom of God that announces union, that God and humankind can be reconciled. And this message of reconciliation comes to us in many, many different ways. But Philip is preaching it, and it's so powerful in its application, people's lives are transformed. If you remember, there's a very high-powered official traveling along with Philip, and he says, "Baptize me right now. I want what you're talking about. I want this oneness. I want this healing." And people not only are intellectually converted, if you listen again, it says, when they heard Philip preaching and they saw the signs he was doing, unclean spirits crying out in a loud voice came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. So you don't have to be too melodramatic about that to say there's possessed people, aspects of ourself that are possessed with anger or greed. There are aspects of ourself that are crippled, incapable of loving someone, incapable of forgiving someone. These aspects are healed by the word of God, by the ministry of the word of God through Philip. And Jesus then says, "I am the bread of life." It's the first of the seven I am statements. It's as if he's planting in human history these declarations of what we are, because the I am is a statement for us. It's the statement of human nature united with divine nature. It's coming from that place of unitive awareness, unitive consciousness. And he's announcing, "I am." And when you hear "I am," listen to it. We are. I am. We are. Humankind is. It's not just for Jesus. This is the good news he's announcing. I am, therefore we can be the bread of life. And then he goes on to say, I just brought the other seven I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. We are the bread of life. We are the word of God that reminds people of their oneness. We are the light of God that reminds people of our lack of needing to be afraid. We are the gate by which love flows freely into the world. We are the good shepherds that guide and protect and nurture the people that are broken and those aspects of ourselves that are needing of tending. We are the resurrection and the life that demonstrate a new being, a new quality of existence other than this violence that keeps playing itself out over and over again in our fights and our arguments and our reactivity. And one murder isn't enough. We just got to keep killing people. One war is not enough. We just got to keep going to war. I am the way, the truth, and life. We are the way, the truth, and the life. We get to demonstrate that for one another. We are the true vine. We are the living tree of by which God's love is flowing and bearing spiritual fruit in each of our lives. So this is really interesting just to realize what influence we are taking in as a means of curing and addressing our sense of separation from God or from someone you love or from nature or from a family member or whatever it might be, a dream, a desire, the sense of separation. What influence are we using to appease that hunger and that thirst? Because the human predicament is that we choose all sorts of other influences to appease that sense of separation. And as a result, it makes matters worse. So the invitation here is to say, the bread of life, the bread is the influence that reminds us, releases us, reconnects us, and frees us from that separation, liberating us from the prisons we talked about last week, to the temple of praise, and to the ministry of reconciliation that Philip demonstrated through his preaching of the word. So the word of God that becomes this bread is on one energetic level wisdom, spoken words. On the second energetic level, going deeper, it is the incarnation of Christ on this planet with its energetic imprint that continues to this day, the risen Christ imprinting our lives, the encountering of Christ in each of our lives. The third level of the Word of God, the bread of God, so to speak, is the Eucharist. And the Eucharist becomes the silent Word of God that feeds us that hunger and demonstrates the literal oneing of our bodies with the body of God, so to speak, as Christ. And the fourth dimension of that Word of God is the silence from which even God's ground is being born and is the environment, the container, the infinite container that holds all things as it unfolds and draws us forward and forth and to which we return. That silence is the bread of God, this the Word of God. So, blessed are those who hunger and thirst because they will be fed. The question will be, what will we choose to feed ourselves on? And this influence that heals the separation, that reverses the damage and releases the captives from the cycle of violence in our lives and those aspects of ourselves. So on the most practical level, on the most very practical level, probably each of us has something that we need to work on that leads to violence, where violence shows up in our lives. And we've perhaps killed someone over and over and over again with our thoughts or words, psychologically speaking. We have done damage to someone, psychologically or spiritually speaking, with our thoughts through the energy of hatred or jealousy or whatever it might be. So the invitation is to transform that violence, to see it with compassion as a form of hunger for oneness, and to transform it by bringing it closer to one of these energetic imprints, the Scriptures, the resurrected Christ, the Eucharist, or the silence. And these are remedies, these are continuing remedies of the bread that we can gain access to, not just, I think, at a theoretical level, but, for example, a very visceral level, right here, and right here, and in the silence. And thank God for, you know, time, because it does take time for the roots of the weeds to wither. It does take time. And the Word of God is like that. The bread of God is like that weed killer, just getting application after application after application. And pretty soon, instead of the weeds, there's that, just that beautiful valley where the Good Shepherd feeds us on the finest of grass, interior grass where the lion and the lamb lie together at peace, feeding with zero violence. I look forward to this experience in my own life, in my own inner condition, and hold it out as a hope for all of humankind. So, may it be so. Amen. It's tonight. May the love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace of the Holy Spirit encircle each of us on our journeys into healing and wholeness in the bread of life. Amen.